just basically rewrite the whole thing and then reference it. And then if people, no one's going to click the reference. No one clicks references.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody.
And then if someone gets mad, you say, well, I referenced him. Yeah, welcome to Sit Talk, everybody.
It's like a party
in your ears, but I'm here and I'm Kendrick.
I'm Kyle.
Parties.
And I'm Joe. And I like to party.
I'm pretty sure you do go to parties.
I'd like it if somebody invited me to one once.
I don't remember what parties are like.
Well, that's unfortunate. Last weekend was really nice. Was it last weekend? It was really nice. It was like super warm, right?
That was a week and a half ago.
No. Friday, Saturday was nice, and then Sunday it like rained, right?
It rained and blew. We had to cut our class short because of the dust and rain blowing into our eyes. So Saturday was a bit rough, but that depends on what nice means to you, Kyle.
Well, no, because when did you guys come over, Kevin?
That would have been not this last weekend, but the one before.
The one before was nice. Yeah, that was when I barbecued for the first time, and I remembered how good just a simple cheeseburger with cheese on it is. Like, hell, man.
Oh. Fresh off the grill, man.
We didn't even make them by hand. We just, like, bought frozen patties, and I let them thaw out outside for a little bit and just slapped them on. And
There's a lot to be said for a good grill. I have been eating the shit out of these Gary's quick steaks that are just frozen chunks of beef, and, man, they are such a great thing to add to when you want to cook something for lunch, but you don't want to order something from fast food, but you also don't really want to try that hard.
Ugh. Yeah.
They're like cheesesteak meat, but what you can cook them and then you can pour like bulgogi sauce on them. Or I threw some jalapeno jam that Joe gave me and a little bit of balsamic vinegar, and I reduced that down. So I had this like sticky, jammy, sweet, spicy, vinegary, tasty beef that I poured over some potatoes and broccoli that I fried up.
That sounds really good.
That sounds wonderful. You're enjoying that jam?
It's good. It's so sweet. I was really not expecting how sweet it was, to be honest.
Gotcha. Are you jamming out with your jam out?
I am. It's a Jack Daniel's jalapeno jam. The Jack is very mild, but the jalapenos are also, it's mostly sweet. It's a very sweet jam, but it does have a little bit of jalapeno kick, which is quite nice.
So we were talking about this before the podcast, and I said we should not talk about this until we're on the podcast. But Kendrick has asked that we save our files as WAV files because they are higher quality, I believe is the reason why, right?
I don't care, but that does give you a lossless thing, so you'll sound better on the final recording.
Anyway,
if you send something lossless.
WAV in my head sounded a lot like WAP, which is referencing the Cardi B song "Wet Ass Pussy."
And Cardi B? Is that who sings that?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't know. I'm asking for. I've never actually heard it.
Yeah. At first, I was getting her and Nicki Minaj confused a lot, but now I don't think Nicki Minaj does music anymore. But who knows? Anyway. I was singing the song "Wet Ass Pussy" as "Wet Ass Vagina" because WAV is vagina, and so I was singing lyrics. And Kendrick asks, "Like, is that the real lyrics to that song? Like macaroni in a pot? That's some wet ass pussy." Like, and I was like, "Yeah, those are the real lyrics to that song."
I'm not linking the video to this song, by the way, in this recording. I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah, it's pretty adult.
Go
but it's
find
not,
it yourself.
There's no nakedness. They show it on like TV.
I just don't have any interest in this song. Like, if you really want, I would link it if it was relevant. But just Google it, you'll find it. I don't care.
It's not gonna be hard. There was a huge controversy about it because it was like a woman talking about her genitals, which like is so taboo because not every guy talks about their genitals whenever they're singing about how cool they are. Anyway,
your dick.
Yeah, there's like a ton of songs about dicks. But anyway, the thing that I said out loud was, you know, there's like a Kidz Bop version of that song called Wings and Pizza. Or it's not like a Kidz Bop. It may not be directly Kidz Bop, but it was one that was like kid friendly. And I was like, at what point do we draw the line on what songs we should cover for kids? And then like, because I imagine the logical stream goes is you listen to that song and then your kid brain's like, and once you realize you're like, well, this isn't the real song. Like, I wonder what the real song is. And then you're like exposed to, you know, WAP.
I feel like Wet Ass Pussy might be one where we should probably have already drawn the line. I think maybe Smack My Bitch Up might be another one that you maybe want to draw the line before.
Like Big Butts gets a little risque
like,
in the song.
Pumped Up Kids Kicks, maybe we don't want to do like a kids pop cover of.
Maybe that would be bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we should be censoring
run,
stuff.
You better run,
but...
outrun my Nerf gun. No, no. I'm no, just like
a squirt gun.
Yeah, it's that's a... not better.
But like, far I guess worse. I mean, we're not. I guess I'm not advocating more censorship or whatever. But
what
I
about
just think
candy
it's funny
shop?
That, like,
that's about a candy shop.
Yeah, it's not at all.
You can
but
lick
yeah.
my lollipop.
Sharing lollipops the most taboo thing you could talk about in COVID. So I see why they didn't do that song.
That was the issue.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, the other part that Kendrick mentioned was I was saying wet ass vagina, and he's like, that would be like the thing that some idiot censor would do is like change the word pussy to vagina, and it'd be like, oh well, we fixed it, right?
Not better.
And like, what did you say? You're like, now we'll only piss off the censorship people, the anti-censorship people.
Well, yeah. So what I was saying was, it's still offensive to anybody who's upset by the phrase wet-ass pussy, but now you've also pissed off the people who are mad about, like, anti-censorship things. So, like, they're mad that you changed pussy to vagina. The people who can't handle either of those words are still mad, and all you've really done is make the song less appealing to anyone.
Do you want to know what the real censored version is?
Yes.
It's wet and gushy.
That's somehow worse.
Yeah, I mean, when you know that she's talking about her vagina, like, it's not like, it's just like, it's got more, word gushy adds more imagery to it.
Yeah, I'm intensely uncomfortable with that. Like, that's so much worse.
I'm not going to say good or bad about that, but I think it's like, it's funny because, like, you really didn't do anything to make the song less, like, sexualized, if that's what you're going for. It's kind of like where I don't feel like why they're still censoring the word shit on radio. I feel like it's the dumbest thing ever. Because
so,
there's so many other words on the radio that aren't censored, but shit is one of the ones that, like, is just
okay,
perma-banned.
When we get into the censorship rules, I have to talk about this here, and Joe can help fill in my drunken blanks here, because I'll pass out in a minute. But... you can say damn, but if you say goddamn, Joe, what word gets bleep when you say goddamn?
God. God.
Why?
Gets censored. That's what I
because,
feel like. It's like
because censorship rules based the censorship
were done in
rules,
like 1700s.
The stuff that was implemented through the FCC is mostly lobbied by like Judeo-Christian and like. Puritanical sources, like the people
so
who
I can
don't
say
really...
God bless you. Yeah. I can say God. What a
you
great
say,
day!
Get down on your knees and start praising Jesus. I want to feel His salvation all over my face. But as soon as you say God, damn, it's game over.
Yeah,
it's the God part that gets, and it's just it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, it's because
this
yeah.
is America.
I won't bring that up. You know, but. But, yeah, it's very strange.
There's another one, isn't there? There's another one. There's another compound swear that the word you wouldn't expect gets bleeped.
Asshole.
Yeah.
In asshole, hole is what gets bleeped.
They bleep hole. You can say ass, but if you say asshole, they bleep hole.
I thought about that. So
you
said
whole
ass. And I was like, it's gotta be the opposite. And my brain still went to the word ass to be bleeped. And like, I don't know why I was like, my brain was hard tracked on like, that should be the word, right? That's gotta be the word. Even though I'm thinking opposites, like it still went the wrong way. It's so dumb. It makes me think of like the other things in society that we've just kind of let be and never looked at or analyzed again. You know, and you like get those like that we used to do lists and stuff here, but like you see the lists of like the craziest laws in some states, like you can't have salt on a Sunday if you're in like Minnesota on a street corner, like stuff like that, where you're like nobody really gets arrested for it, but there are these weird
that
laws
came from something, right?
Yeah, and you're like there should be an active process that goes through and sees if these things are still relevant, because it's like dangerous to let some of this stuff lie there like that. I don't feel like.
Yeah. Well, I mean. There's a lot of those that come from weird case law. Some of them come from weird, like, proxy punishments, often kind of racist, unfortunately, but like the people who were pouring salt, whatever, on corners were usually, you know, black people, so we wanted to make a law to keep the black people out, so we couldn't make a law against black people, so we made a law against the thing they would do on the corner, right? And so you got those, and then you got the weird blue laws, which is the part that I find really strange, like the puritanical, like, sodomy laws and all that stuff, where it's like you're trying to, like, create all of these legal things around interactions between two human beings behind closed doors that you couldn't ever possibly enforce. Like, yeah. how is that gonna go down? Like, there's a cop in my bedroom making sure I do sex right. Like,
you're just like, how? You're not supposed to do sodomy, like, outside on your back porch, maybe. Like,
but that's, you know, already public indecency, right?
No. Like, it's different.
So here's one. In our lifetime, Colorado, you couldn't used to sell liquor on a Sunday.
Yep. Can't compare.
Oh, yeah, I mean that.
I worked at a grocery store I worked at a gas station in Pagosa for a couple of summers. Like, yeah. And you couldn't sell anything more than 3-2 up until
last year, recently.
Right? Yeah.
Year before last, somewhere in there.
And one place could. One place of the chain could.
Exactly, one just place one per state. Safeway, I remember going to that one Target in somewhere in Denver, South Denver. I remember going to that Target, and I was buying something unrelated, but I walked down an aisle full of liquor bottles, and I was like, that's not supposed to be in Target. What the fuck? But so here's my favorite part. My favorite part is in Colorado, right, until recently, if you weren't a liquor store or one of the one ordained instances of your chain, you could only sell 3-2 beer. No wine, no liquor, only beer that was at 3.2% alcohol. But that was 3-2 by weight, not by volume. Because when they wrote the law, they still hadn't standardized on how to measure alcohol for like liquor and beer. Fun fact, depending on the beer you have, 3.2% alcohol by weight, 3.2%, is actually closer to 4.5% alcohol. So if you're selling a Budweiser or a Bud Light, the alcohol content at a grocery store is almost identical to the alcohol content you sell elsewhere.
But that's like, that was like a life hack when we were in high school.
Yeah. So here's the best part about that, though. It's so close that they still maintain two production systems to eke out that 4% alcohol, because they knew it was a market differentiator to sell a 5% ABV in one place and a 3.5% ABW elsewhere.
And yeah, because you could get away with selling it to more people that way, right?
Right, because more people would buy, if you could get it into grocery stores, you've got bigger market appeal. But if you're selling a beer, if you're selling a beer outside of grocery stores, you don't want to be a pussy ass, wet ass beer at 4%. So you want to be 5%. So they would formulate the rest of the shit so that they would line up pretty close on weight. So really, 5% ABV Budweiser is only slightly more alcoholic than 3.5 ABW grocery store Budweiser. None of that matters in Colorado anymore, which, ironically, was the home of Coors, right? Like, one of the biggest shit beers of the world. And it blows my mind how much marketing and how much manufacturing differentiation went into this to align this, even though they're marginally different at best.
Yeah. It's got to be making enough money that it matters, right? Like, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you had a choice between only selling in liquor stores or only selling in the 1,000-plus grocery stores in Colorado, which would you pick?
Both.
Yeah. Why? And so now, well, but now they can sell beer up to, actually, what's the limit now? Is it 7% in grocery stores?
Yeah, it's like you can't sell like barley wines or like custom. Yeah, like.
Yeah. Still like can't that. Sell wines, but you can sell up to a certain percentage alcohol beers and. Mm-hmm. What I loved was the argument against that was that all the craft breweries would go out of business and everything. But I actually went to a Walmart after that, and they had legit Colorado beers there. Like,
Yeah, not or the King Super Spire ones, House does too. Ones. It's pretty great because if you're like, man, yeah. if you unless you like you're looking for like really really key stuff, but that's the kind of but benefit here, of living in Colorado too. Like, there's a lot of breweries you can just go to around your house and
but,
like buy
but
the beer. From
even
there.
Beyond that, if you want a really good beer, if you want a specific beer, you don't go to the grocery store. You go to a liquor store, not because liquor stores are special, but like because they're more likely to source the good beers you want. And they have a walk-in fridge. You can do that. Like, we go to this liquor store in Belmar all the time.
That's
like,
not
oh,
true,
I want
though.
This thing here.
Like, a normal, like, run-of-the-mill, like, strip mall liquor store is actually worse than the grocery store. Not worse,
oh, yeah, yeah.
but, like,
that's
the only
thing.
Thing you're getting there is, like, liquor or wine, right?
That's the thing. A strip mall grocery store run by an angry, like,
liquor store.
One person who runs the whole thing kind of situation, those are dying. And they will die, and they must die. But you go to, like, Belmar Liquor... which is underneath a Whole Foods and across the street from a Target. Like,
it's a great one.
That one is one of my favorite because they have a walk-in beer fridge and they have all kinds of really great sours and whatever. And every time I go there, they're always very cheerful. I used to get special order wine from them until we started doing the wine delivery Bright Cellars thing. But I used to order wine by the crate from them because I could special order wine through that guy. And so I'd go in, you know, I'd email him, and he'd tell me when it came in. I'd go up to him and I'd say, hey, I got a box of wine with my name. And they'll pull it up, and you buy it, and you leave. Like, always super cheerful. They'll special order stuff for you. They'll talk to you. They'll answer questions. And that experience will never go away because a grocery store can't compete with that, and they don't want to, right? They don't want that experience. But a liquor store will always be like, oh, hey, have you tried this scotch? Oh, you like Weldworks? Have you tried Wiley Roots? You know, like that kind of stuff. That experience is never going to go away just because grocery stores can sell beer,
mm-hmm.
which is why laws are stupid.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking of laws being stupid, who in this podcast hasn't ever used, like an emulator before? Everybody has, I think. We've like run them on Raspberry Pis, we've run them on our phones. Yeah.
Yep.
So Kevin has a hack. Not a hack. Kevin found something out that I'd like him to talk about on the podcast, because I feel like there's enough of an audience of people who we know that sharing the knowledge with just us is good. And then if anybody else listens, I think it's cool too because of what's going to happen. So Kevin, I'll let you take it away, but it has to do with DSs.
Take it away.
Yeah.
Take it away now.
So, we had a couple DSs from a couple years back, and Meg's has been just sitting in the drawer like for over a year, like it was covered in dust. And I
covered in dust.
Just curious, like that thing's really cool. The form factor's nice. It folds up. You know, you can't scratch the screens and stuff. I wonder if you could run emulators on it. And sure enough, you can. You can run. Basically everything up to PS1, I think, on the new 3DS, so the one with double cores and double the RAM, that they did at closer to the end of the lifetime of that machine. but not a Nintendo 64. It's real fidgety. But anything behind PS1 and Nintendo 64, it will run flawlessly, like all the way back, arcade games, whatever you want.
Flawless victory.
Flawless. So,
what about? Oh no, that was next generation. Never mind. I was gonna say Dreamcast, but that's next generation.
Yeah, that was after.
Yeah, Dreamcast is a big. They got a big. It's got a honking processor in that boy.
But yeah, you can put. I put, you know, one of each of the emulators, like, you know, Sega, NES, Super Nintendo, Game Boy, Game Boy Advance. It also plays the original DS games perfectly well because it's a newer iteration of that platform, so plays
right,
these
right.
games good. You know, it's got.
Can you get
3DS screen.
Games on it too? Like, are those ROMs available?
Yeah, you can. I haven't figured that out yet, but there is a way to, you know, the legal way to do it. If you don't want to have your cartridges carried around, you can get the, you know, software version of your cartridges and just have them all on a big old SD card. But I haven't figured that out yet. I'm still working on that. But yeah. It works good. I've got Kyle set up. I haven't put the ROMs on it yet, but I went through the whole hacking process. It takes a lot of taking the SD card out, putting it in your computer, moving files back and forth, taking it back out, putting it back into the DS, holding down specific buttons at specific times to
until
bring
you
up
get carpal tunnel.
Yeah. And bring up specific menus, and then you force the menu to, you know, use this program that's already installed on the DS. It's just, you have to jump through hoops to get it going, but Yeah, it's pretty cool though.
Once you get it, does it like is it easy to use? Like once you have it all set
yeah,
up?
Yeah. You to use like each of the emulators, you go through sort of a file system, so it's not hard. You just kind of click through the files, go to the Game Boy version, and click that Game Boy game, and click the emulator that you want to use to play it, because there's multiple versions of each one.
Does like the DS? Do the DS games actually use the touchscreen stuff still? Like, do they work?
Yeah, the DS games.
Oh, that's
do.
So awesome!
Yeah, so, I put Elite Beat Agents on it or something.
Oh, that game's yeah, so
cool.
The other one that if you should never have played it before that you should is the Theater Rhythm games. So there's like a Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm, and they're basically like Elite Beat Agents for Final Fantasy music, which is a very cool concept.
I have no knowledge of this.
It's pretty cool. I bet your brother has them. If not, I think I have them, but they're pretty fun. But the thing I was going to get to, though, the real crux of this, I think that's cool, is that, like, a lot of people have DSs. And the thing that I feel like I want my DS to do right now when I have a Switch is, like, play older games. Like, play the games that I bought off the DS store or the Nintendo store a long time ago, like Link to the Past and all that stuff, right? And if I can do it via this method and not have to buy like a third-party emulator software that hopefully works or something that's preloaded with games, and I can just use my DS, which I already know and love, this is awesome. Like, yeah. This is the best thing that you could ever want from like a deprecated system.
Yep.
Awesome.
D-pad works great for these games. It holds, it, like, it doesn't use much power to run them, so the battery lasts forever. So it's, yeah, if you got a 3DS system lying around, it can be done.
But I
do not.
And I think you can put I think it supports up to 32 gig SD card, so you could fit the entire library of each of these systems on there and still have space.
That's crazy to me.
If you wanted to. Of course, here at SitSock, we only put games on there that we already own. That's
right, because legally you're allowed to have a copy for archival purposes.
Wait, what are you talking about? I'm just kidding.
You would never steal games off the internet. Yeah, you would never steal a policeman's helmet.
You would never steal an old lady's respirator.
You'd never kill the policeman and then steal his helmet and then shit in the helmet and then mail it to the widow
and then steal it back.
That's got to be the best one. Like, that one did make me take it seriously for a second, because I wouldn't do that stuff.
God, no.
I should hope not. Well, that sounds fantastic, and I look forward to your article to be posted to Aethernet sometime later this week on how to do that.
I could send you
your retro gaming system. Your retro gaming Switch Soup mashup.
I followed a guide, very specific guide. I think it's on hackedyour3ds.com or something.
Look, just steal the guide and post it on the internet. It's not that hard.
Change the wording around it.
Yeah.
Yeah, then people
and then
come what ask
you
me.
You can reference it, just basically rewrite the whole thing and then reference it, and then if people, no one's gonna click the reference. No one clicks references.
That's true.
Yeah. Nobody.
And then someone gets mad, you say, well, I referenced him.
I
added
him,
bro.
Yeah, it's like, you just paraphrased the whole thing. Yeah, I said I did. What do you want from me?
Like, I'm not lying to you. You just didn't care.
But you clicked onto my site and clicked on my ads, so that's what matters.
All right, well, thanks for listening, everybody. If you have a DS, basically send it to Kevin, and he'll send it back to you in 10 to 30 years. Business days, sorry.
Plated in gold with a whole bunch of games on it.
Funny, the DS I gave him is actually gold.
See? He played.
No,
like
it's
gold.
Pink.
Oh, that's right.
Like the WAP.
WAP, WAP, WAP. That's some
and
macaroni
in
wow.
a pot.
And we're back.
So,
yeah, like, comment, and subscribe.
The reason
everybody.
That she talks about macaroni in a pot is because of the sound it makes when you stir it around. And scene.
Bye.
Bye.